What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Welcome into the program. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope it's starting off well. It will start off well. It's not too cold out and it's sunny, but it's going to change as the day goes on. But that's all right. Got to have a few rainy days to have a few beautiful days. Although we have a lot of rainy days coming up. But wasn't yesterday worth it? Wasn't it worth it to have yesterday? I hope you got to experience some of it. And I was thinking as I was driving, running an errand yesterday afternoon, thinking to myself, very soon every day is going to be like this. Briefly. Then it'll start to get too hot for me and I'll hate it. But for me, 60 to 70 degrees is perfect. Even 50 to 70 degrees is perfect for me. So yesterday was definitely a winner. And speaking of winners, the voting continues in our mother-daughter look-alike contest at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. So make sure you get your votes in for that. Voting ends at the end of this week. Our winner will be announced next Monday. So you want to make sure you get there and vote before time is up. Whether it be, you know, for someone that you know, or just if you are interested in helping somebody win a prize. Speaking of prizes, Celtics look like a team that could be winning a championship this year with last night's performance. Now, the Cavaliers, of course, aren't a team that should pose too big of a challenge. But really, the Celtics last night could have played better than they did. They won by 25, and that's kind of shooting themselves in the foot a little bit in some ways. They were firing on all cylinders. It could have been even worse. And I don't want to, you know, I never predict a sweep, but, and I don't think this will be either. I don't know. But the Celtics certainly looked pretty good, and that's what I think will be the most interesting part of this playoff run, is if the Celtics can get themselves, you know, a 4-0 win, a 5-1 series win, then they can get themselves some extra rest before the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm sure that will be a lot more grueling. But that's what's been missing from some of these previous Celtics playoff runs, is they've had to go too far. They've had to go too long in series. And with overtime games and all of that. So I think the more that they can keep themselves rested during these first two series, the better off they'll be down the line, especially when it comes to getting Porzingis back. But it was a kind of an undramatic game last night. I never really thought that the Cavaliers were going to make a serious run. But then I would have said the same thing heading into game two against the Heat. And look what happened in that game. So anyway, there's my sports talk for the morning. There's a story that I have at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that I think you might find interesting, even if you don't believe it. There is a woman who posted in a Acushnet Facebook group yesterday that she saw a mountain lion in her in-law's backyard that morning. She also said her mother-in-law had seen it a few weeks ago. Or maybe last week. I forget the exact date. She also said that her neighbor said that he saw it too and caught it on his trail cam. Now, we are awaiting the trail cam footage. She said she's going to try to get it from the neighbor and get it to us. But she was adamant that what she saw was a mountain lion or a cougar. They're the same thing. I saw a lot of people commenting, are you sure it was a mountain lion? Are you sure it wasn't a cougar? They're the same thing. Literally. It's not like I'm saying, oh, they look exactly alike. No, a mountain lion and a cougar, those terms are interchangeable for the same creature. And she said that she saw one. Now, it was around 6 a.m. yesterday morning. I remember 6 a.m. yesterday morning. I was sitting here in this very seat, looking out this very same window with the very same bright sun shining in my face. So it wasn't like it was dark and she could be mistaken with what she was looking at. And she got a good dead-on look at it. She said it had a long tail. It was tan in color. And it wasn't furry or brushy. Bushy. And that she went on Google and she looked up pictures of a bobcat and looked up pictures of a mountain lion and compared the two. And after looking at photos of each, she was convinced that what she saw was a mountain lion. Now, she knew that her mother-in-law had seen something previously. Her mother-in-law didn't know what it was. She showed her the photos, I guess, or talked to her about it. And she said, that's what I saw. I talked to the mother-in-law as well. The mother-in-law saw it as she was pulling into the driveway at about 11 o'clock at night out of the corner of her eye. So she didn't get the same dead-on look. But she said the same thing. Long tail, tannish color. And then the neighbor saying he saw the same thing. I didn't speak to the neighbor, but he saw the same thing. And then he caught it on his trail cam. She put this up in a Facebook group. Other people were commenting that they had seen them as well. Not this particular one, this particular day, but that in the past. So I reached out to Dave Waddles, our guy over at Mass Wildlife, although he is mainly the guy for bears. He's our go-to guy when it comes to wild animals. So I just said to Dave, I was like, is there any possibility that this could be true? And the exact quote that he gave me was, I'd bet my left arm it was a bobcat or a domestic cat. There are no mountain lions in Massachusetts or the eastern U.S. The closest population is in South Dakota. So a mountain lion would have to come a long way to be here unless there was a secret pocket of them here that Mass Wildlife was unaware of, because Mass Wildlife's official stance, according to their website, is there is no evidence of a reproducing mountain lion population in Massachusetts. Now, that gives Mass Wildlife a few outs there. They're saying a reproducing mountain lion population. So there's no community of mountain lions. There's no family of mountain lions. There's no evidence that they live here. That doesn't mean somebody didn't bring one here. That doesn't mean some dope didn't watch Tiger King and say, I'm going to buy a big cat too. and they bought a cougar and decided to let it loose when they couldn't take care of it or escaped. But there are people who swear. I know, because I've talked to them. There are people who swear they've seen them in the Blue Hills. Mass Wildlife says they're mistaken. All the predatory animals, well, many, many, many predatory animals were wiped out of this area as they were settling New England and the eastern United States. There was a bounty system. People got paid to go out and kill them so that they could live safer. So there was all kinds of animals that used to live here that were basically made extinct from this area. However, Mass Wildlife does account for a couple of cases where there were signs that a mountain lion was in Massachusetts. This goes back. The first one was in 1997 when an experienced tracker found scat near a beaver carcass at the Quabbin Reservation. Two different labs confirmed the scat sample came from a mountain lion. Then in March 2011, in the same area, well, the area of the Quabbin Reservoir, fresh tracks were spotted in the snow and determined by four different tracking experts who had been made by a mountain lion. They think that that mountain lion is the same one who, just a few months later, in June of 2011, was documented in Greenwich, Connecticut, and then killed by a vehicle 6 days later. And they believe that that one came from South Dakota because they had evidence of it in other states on its way here. Does that mean maybe another one came? Now, the Quabbin Reservoir, that's far out. That's out western Mass. That's not the South Coast, but is it possible that one made it out here? Mass Wildlife doesn't seem to think so. But we've got to get that trail cam footage. So if that neighbor is listening, send it to me, tim@wbsm.com. I know Olivia, who is the person featured in the story, said she's going to try and get it, but maybe they're listening. Because not only do I want to see it, not only do our readers want to see it, Mass Wildlife wants to see it. Because they say without good photos, without good evidence, video evidence, they just can't put any stock in these reports. And Dave Waddle said as much. He says, you know, with all the cell phone cameras that we have, and Olivia said, you know, she wished she had had her phone on her when she saw this, all the cell phone cameras, all the Ring cameras, all the trail cameras, and they haven't seen credible evidence of there being mountain lions in Massachusetts, despite getting numerous reports every year. And they said that when they do get photos, there are always photos people pulled from the internet that came from other states as some kind of a hoax. So I don't know how much this trail cam footage would show, but we need to see it. Now, I remember hearing Chris McCarthy talk about this before, talk about reports of people seeing mountain lions or cougars in the area. You know, he has all those great chats with Terry Cripps, the animal control officer in Fairhaven. And I know one of the times I was listening to that, or maybe I was listening to him talk about something else with animals, but he mentioned those reports, and I've heard other people bring it up before. There was also a time, though, when they would claim bobcats weren't in this area. And now they are. There was a time when they said fishers weren't in this area, and now they are. And I think, well, they said great white sharks didn't come to this area, now they do. And of course, the biggest example of this is now we have bears. Now we have bears. So are mountain lions far behind? Will Cougars be a regular sight on the South Coast? And I'm not talking about those Cougars. Not the old Colony Cougars. Will actual Wildcats be in Westport? I don't know. Maybe things are changing just enough that this could become a thing. Have you seen one? 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Right now, though, I'm going to take my first break of the morning and we'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Also, app chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. We got an app chat message from Not Bad in Oak Bluffs who says, "Good morning, Tim. I remember when that same gentleman from Mass Wildlife swore that we only had one bear in the area a couple of years ago, and we know how that turned out. Actually, not bad. It was just last year, Dave Waddle said we only had one bear in the area. At the beginning of the season, it was more toward the end of, or the middle to end of bear season that he admitted, well, I shouldn't say he, but that Mass Wildlife took the stance that there was more than one bear. Because although Dave is our spokesperson for Mass Wildlife, he's the guy that gives us the information. I did talk to other people in Mass Wildlife, and they were saying the same thing, that there was no credible evidence at the time that there was more than one bear, because they were operating under the assumption, based on the reports they were getting at the time, that it was one bear because of the amount of miles a bear can cover in a day. So it seemed perfectly reasonable and plausible, or possible, pardon the pun, that it could be that a bear would go from, say, Westport to Wareham in a day. They can cover that much ground. So they were assuming that it was one based on where the reports were coming in. As the reports started coming in more frequently, and the reports were coming in with documented evidence like ring camera footage and... See, even cell phone camera footage, unless you have the metadata for that footage, or unless you go, so let's just say somebody says, "Oh, here's my front porch, and here's a photo of the bear on my front porch." Well, if Mass Wildlife comes to check it out and they look and you don't have a front porch, well, they know that you faked the photo or that you sent them a not legitimate photo. But when they investigate and they realize, okay, these things are all adding up, then they start to realize, okay, there is more than one bear. And then this year, they've said there's a bear, at least one bear, that lives here now. That this bear denned in, I think it was Easton, probably in Borderland. So there's at least one that lives here. But we can talk more about that coming up, 508-996-0500. And, of course, your app chat messages and open line voicemails. But right now, let's go into the newsroom with Phil Devitt.
Stormy Daniels takes the stand in Trump's hush money trial. A restaurant chain will stop selling a drink blamed for two deaths. And goodbye, Boy Scouts. There's a new name to learn.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Donald Trump's hush money trial is in recess until Thursday after some salacious testimony from adult star Stormy Daniels. Trump's defense was denied a mistrial for her so-called inflammatory testimony, but the judge did say he may give the jury instructions to ignore parts of Daniels' testimony.
The material introduced in court today is so prejudicial and has so little probative value that it has essentially infected this case.
That's Trump attorney Will Scharf. Daniels took the stand on Tuesday and went into detail about her alleged sexual encounter with Trump, leading the judge to scold the prosecution about her, quote, degree of detail. Trump is accused of falsifying business records tied to paying the adult film star to stay quiet about an alleged affair just prior to the 2016 election. The Biden administration is reportedly going to miss today's deadline to report to Congress about Israel's conduct in the war in Gaza. President Biden issued an order in February requiring the State Department to determine if Israel is violating international humanitarian law in its war with the Palestinian militant group Hamas. The findings could have implications for the use of U.S.-supplied weapons to Israel. Russian authorities say they have another American in custody days after the arrest of a U.S. soldier. Mark Mayfield with more.
William Nykum is being held for at least 10 days, charged with petty hooliganism for allegedly being drunk and naked in public in Moscow. This after the arrest of Staff Sergeant Gordon Black, a U.S. soldier stationed in South Korea. Black was arrested for theft after he reportedly traveled to Russia to meet a romantic acquaintance. Black's mother told ABC News she warned him against travel to Russia, fearing the woman was setting him up. He's being held for at least 2 months in pretrial detention. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Exceptions for rape and incest won't be added to Louisiana's abortion ban. The House Administration of Criminal Justice Committee voted 7-4 Tuesday to reject the changes. The committee's pro-life majority said they're more interested in punishing the rapist than the innocent child resulting from the illegal action. Panera Bread will soon stop selling its charged lemonade after the drink was blamed for at least two deaths. One lawsuit claims the highly caffeinated beverage led to the death of a University of Pennsylvania student with a heart condition. Another lawsuit claims a Florida man with previous health issues died after drinking a charged lemonade. And the Boy Scouts of America is changing its name to Scouting America. Lisa Taylor has more.
The organization said it's officially making the change February 2025 as a sign of its commitment to inclusion. More than a million youth are currently enrolled in Boy Scouts programs across the nation. That includes over 175,000 girls. I'm Lisa Taylor.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics leading after a 120-95 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 1 at TD Garden. They host the Cavs in Game 2 on Thursday night. The Bruins hoping to take a commanding lead in their series when they play the Panthers in Game 2 this evening. And the Red Sox, having dropped four of their last five games after falling to the Atlanta Braves 4-2, wrap up the two-game set tonight.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Morning, everybody. On this Wednesday, we're starting out the day with patchy fog. Late morning, slight chance for a thunderstorm activity already. Temperature around 50 as we head into the afternoon. We'll continue with the threat for some thunderstorms. Temperature in the upper 50s. Overnight tonight, we'll have that chance for rain early on, and then turning patchy to dense fog. Temperatures dipping into the lower 50s. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full summit forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Confidence is a preference for the habitual voyeur of what is known as. A morning suit can be avoided if you take a route straight through what is known as. John Scott Brewer's crew, he gets intimidated by the dirty pigeons. They love a bit of him. Who's that gut lord marching? You should cut down on your pork life, mate. Get some exercise.
People, so many people, and they
And I may not understand everything that they say in a Blur song, but I certainly enjoy them. So, that's Park Life, which, I don't know, I just got to play that every now and then. I enjoy it. Makes me smile. So, mountain lions. That's what we were talking about to kick off the program this morning. And I'm seeing more comments from people on our Facebook page and on the Fun 107 Facebook page from people who say that they've seen something similar. Now, as Mass Wildlife points out, a lot of times people confuse them with bobcats, that they see a bobcat and they think that it's a mountain lion because bobcats can be quite large. And not every bobcat has to be, you know, big tufts of hair coming off of its face. But the tail is a giveaway. The reason why it's called a bobcat is because it has a bob tail. And these folks are saying they saw something that has a long tail. Now, these are all, you know, the big cats are, you know, the really big cats. Mountain lions, pumas, cougars, they're all the same thing. They're not supposed to be in this area, but they once were in this area. And if you have something that was once in the area, that doesn't mean that there couldn't still be a pocket of them somewhere. Again, that would mean generations of reproducing, and you would think that that would mean that there'd be a lot of them, but maybe not. We're not talking about, you know, finding a plesiosaur in the middle of Loch Ness. We're talking about something that had been known to have lived here that humans eliminated. That they also, humans, decided not to reintroduce. We pretty much eliminated wild turkeys too, but they decided to bring those back. There's rattlesnakes in the Blue Hills that were put there by man. Well, at least they were reintroduced to the Blue Hills by man. Eastern timber rattlesnakes. So it's possible that this somehow got here and that it's here. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim.
How you doing?
Not bad. So, talking about that, I think a lot of it has to do with the increase in turkeys and deer, and then your predators are going to follow the food source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lot of, I mean, we have more than enough turkeys and deer out there within the past few years. And I would have to say that if you had a family of mountain lion up in the White Mountains or up in Western Mass, and the food source continues to expand, they're going to continue to expand because every year they're going to have a litter, and however many, I don't even know how many are in a litter of mountain lion, but if you have a couple families out there, in 10 years, they could explode. You know, and you'd end up having a lot of different predators down here.
I mean,
you know, that.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, you know, the turkey population, the deer population, that's what a lot of folks point to as the reason why we are seeing so many coyotes roaming around, you know, in the broad daylight and having no fear of humans. It's because they've got this constant food source between the turkeys and the deer, that why would they want to go and hide? Why would they want to go somewhere else? They've got all the food they need right here. And my brother-in-law is a hunter, and he's been saying, you know, for the last couple of years, he's like, they need to up the limits on deer because deer need to be culled back. There's just too many of them.
Yeah. You know, that goes back to like what we used to call conservation, and Teddy Roosevelt back in the, you know, early 1900s was a huge conservationist, even though he was also a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he understood the balance between what man does and is doing, and the effort of hunting to keep population of different animals in check, along with being, because we're predators as humans, we're predators. and that we are part of the food chain, even though we're right at the top. And we need to understand that there needs to be a balance. And, you know, when we restrict too much, we're going to see an imbalance happening over time. And, you know, in the early 80s and you know, 90s, we saw a lot of conservation efforts. And now we have to do the other side of it, where we have to increase our hunting so we can get rid of the food source. If not, we're going to have mountain lions, and we're going to have a lot more predators and more dangerous situations than just, you know, hitting a turkey when you're crossing the street or driving down the street.
And then when you do start to, you know, call them back, we have wildlife management now that will, you know, keep an eye on this to make sure that it doesn't get to the point where they become overhunted and that we would have to worry about the population dwindling too much. So they can manage it. I mean, I'm not a hunter, and I don't think I could ever go out there and shoot an animal. But yeah. I also understand that for us to live and to be safe and drive down the road, we can't have deer running out in front of us every 10 feet.
Right. And unfortunately, you have a lot of people in government that are influenced by one side versus the other. You know, they look at humans as the invasive species a lot of times. They look, oh, look, we're building more, and we're encroaching on their territory. No, we have to share our environment. And as we expand, you know, we have to make sure that it's a safe environment for everybody, for all animals, humans, along with all the other, you know, wildlife in the area. But I honestly think you're going to see an explosion going forward of different predators down here. Now, are bears, I understand bears are predators, but would they attack a deer?
No, not generally. They eat fish, they eat berries, they eat, you know,
yeah.
They eat vegetation. They're not known.
They're not carnivorous?
I think they would eat them.
Yeah, I know they're carnivorous to a point, but I didn't know if they were predators at the deer level. Like, I know they probably eat smaller animals, like maybe rabbit, but I'm not sure about the deer. I don't know if they would attack the deer.
So, I just did a quick little search here, and it says bears are omnivorous, so they'll eat berries, grain, fish, insects, birds, and mammals. What they will do is they will hunt deer and moose when necessary. But they'll also feed on carcasses. So, you know,
right.
Let somebody else kill it, and then they'll come along and eat some of the leftovers.
Right, right. Oh, my God. Imagine a bear and a moose in a fight. Those are two massive animals. Oh, my God.
I think you're giving Sci-Fi Channel an idea for its next movie.
just go up in Alaska. I'm sure there's a lot of that happens up there.
Well,
Sci-Fi
likes to do the movies of the, you know, the mega bear versus super moose, you know, like Sharknado.
yeah, that's all we need. Yeah, that's another great episode we're going to watch. But yeah, that's just my thought. I think you're going to see a lot more. I hope that there's mountain lions roaming around. That'd be wild to see.
Well, what do you think? Do you believe
really
it?
Cool.
Do you believe this is a mountain lion that they're seeing in Acushnet?
Yeah, I could actually see it being a mountain. I haven't read the story yet, so I don't know what the details of it are. You know, like the description.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is like bobcats, I've seen bobcats and I've seen panthers and cougars. You know, it's all the same animal, but I've seen mountain lions, and there is a significant difference in size, in regards to height, in regards to length, everything. I mean, you got a, like you said, a bobtail and a very long tail. So it's significant. You can definitely tell the difference. And even your fur patterns are different from what I've seen.
Yeah.
So if there's quite a few people that are saying it, I don't know how many people are saying they saw a mountain lion, or if it's just a one-off like Ring camera thing.
So far, three people have seen it, but there's other people who have commented having seen them, you know, for years around here.
I mean, there's people that see Bigfoot, so who knows?
That's true. I talked to a lot of them, so.
yeah,
and actually, you mentioned Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt wrote about Bigfoot in one of his books, so.
No way, really?
Yeah. I'll see if I can dig up. I'll have to look in my notes for my presidential paranormal lecture, but I'll see if I can dig it up, and I'll read the little passage on it.
That's interesting, because he's been out in the wild. He was out in the wild all the time. He lived out there. You know, he was a big-time gamesman. And if he's saying that, that's interesting.
If I remember right, he didn't say that he believed in it. He just talked about the reports that he'd heard about it. But I'll see what I can find.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right, Tim.
All right. Have a good day.
Talk to you. Yep, bye.
And we're going to take a break. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. Good. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. And so I found that portion from my presentation that I do. It's called Presidential Paranormal. It's one of the talks that I give at libraries and civic groups and schools. And basically, I go through the presidents and some of the paranormal stories that surround them, whether it be them or their time in the White House or what have you. And it's one of my favorite presentations to give, because there's a lot of stuff that people had no idea about. You know, people love the Bridgewater Triangle talk, and I'm happy to give that one. It's one of my favorite ones to deliver. I love to to perform and to give that presentation. But Presidential Paranormal is one that I walk away feeling like I taught people something. And so Teddy Roosevelt wrote in his 1893 book, The Wilderness Hunter, about a mysterious individual named Bauman, who told him he had encountered in the Beaverhead Mountains along the border of Montana and Idaho a creature that he called a goblin. Now, it's important to note that the term Bigfoot didn't exist back then. That term wasn't coined until the 1950s. So Bigfoot would not have been a term that they would have used in Teddy Roosevelt's time. Same with Yeti and Sasquatch and some of these other names. They didn't use those names. So goblin would probably be the closest thing. But Bauman told the story of camping, and they left camp to go get some firewood or something. And when they came back, they found these prints around their camp. And they're like, oh, what? Must have been a bear. A bear must have come and visited our camp. Don't leave any food out. There's bears around. And then later on, as they're cooking dinner, one of the other hunters was looking at those prints and said, Bauman, if this was a bear, he was walking on two legs. And then they kind of said, all right, well, we'll go to bed and we'll worry about it later. But they woke up and started having these experiences where they saw this thing. And what first happened is Bauman was woken up and he could smell it before he could see anything. And that's a story that is common with Bigfoot sightings, is that people say you smell them long before you see them, because they have this rank smell. They smell like musty earth, like dirt padded into them. And so they smelled this smell, and then, of course, you know, they get out and they start looking for this thing, and they saw this creature that they called the goblin. So there's stories at least going that far back and written about by a future president. It's up to you if you want to believe it. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. And And we are just about out of time for this hour, but stay tuned. We have more coming your way next hour and more with you. 508-996-0500. We'll talk about some other stories too, but mountain lions in Acushnet, do you believe it? Mass Wildlife doesn't.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.